Welcome back to New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. There is a new captain of the Titanic as we devote this episode 289 of New World next week to the season finale of what I've been calling America's Next Top President. And we're going to look at not only the results of the top game, but of course, all the ripple effects that surround it. So I think just for anyone who's maybe been under a rock or been hiking in the Himalayas for the last year, James, I think it's kind of important to just sort of read this into the record, if you'll indulge me here. Via the New York Times, appropriately enough, Donald John Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States on Tuesday in a stunning culmination of an explosive, populist, and polarizing campaign that took relentless aim at the institutions and long-held ideals of American democracy. The surprise outcome, defying late polls that showed Hillary Clinton with a modest but persistent edge, threatened convulsions throughout the country and the world, where skeptics had watched with alarm as Mr. Trump's unvarnished overtures to disillusioned voters took hold. The triumph for Mr. Trump, 70, a real estate developer turned reality television star with no government experience, was a powerful rejection of the establishment forces that had assembled against him, from the world of business to government and the consensus they had forged on everything from trade to immigration. The result amounted to a repudiation not only of Mrs. Clinton, but of President Obama, whose legacy is suddenly imperiled, and it was a decisive demonstration of power by a largely overlooked coalition of mostly blue-collar white and working-class voters who felt that the promise of the United States had slipped their grasp amid decades of globalization and multiculturalism. James, I have to say right here in front of everybody, I was wrong. I thought all these last 8 years it was going to be Hillary, and even basically up until probably 9/11 of this year, my head still always said it was going to be Hillary, but then my gut started to say, and I could look around and just sort of feel the pulse in a lot of different ways, and I kind of knew in my gut that it was probably going to be Trump. But the way it did actually go down last night, I kind of did it, of course, blow by blow on my Twitter feed, was surprising, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts about it.
Surprising to me as well, because I saw all of the Hillary's ahead by 4 points. It's a comfortable lead. It's only a question of how much she'll win by. I saw all of that from the mainstream press, and I believed it, not in the sense that I believed what they were saying, but I believed that meant that they were going to try to steal it for her. They didn't. So what does that mean? What's the real point of that is the real question. So I think there's a couple of things that have to be said into the record since we're doing that. The first is, let's, before we start tearing everything apart, let's say what are the positive aspects of this. The first is that I think, regardless of everything else, this really is a repudiation of the establishment press, the mainstream Beltway Republicans and Democrats, the insider system. There clearly was a groundswell of support of people who voted because they want to see that system destroyed. And to that extent, I think that is a good thing. It also means that the Bushes have had their legacy tainted and tarnished, and finally George Bush has been called out for the Iraq War and the disaster that is, and the idea that, you know, Bush will go down as some great president or anything is, I think, firmly gone by this point. And the Clinton's legacy is also tarnished. I think Bill Clinton's legacy is retroactively loses some of its shine, and Hillary Clinton is persona non grata. She will be a footnote in the history textbooks at best. Those are good things to come out of this selection cycle, regardless of everything else. But let's get a bit of reality injected into here. I don't know if anyone noticed this, but the first words out of President-elect Donald Trump's mouth were,
"Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely."
Do you still think, lock her up, lock her up, she's going into an orange jumpsuit, and all of that stuff in the election campaign was real? Do you really think that's going to happen? Do you really think they're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it? Do you think all of these things that people were voting for are going to happen? I'm telling you they're not. I'm telling you that 99% of that is going to be backtracked on, and already has been. It's just a question of how they reveal it to it. And there will be some red meat thrown out to the base that voted him in, Supreme Court justices and things like that. Repealing Obamacare, replacing it with Trump Care. Trump has said on the record over and over and over and over again, including in this election cycle, that he's for universal health care, just not the Obama version of it. So they're going to repeal Obamacare. They're going to put in Trump Care. All of these things are going to be backtracked in various ways. And I'm not surprised that 20-somethings might believe, take what politicians or would-be politicians say during election cycles at face value. I'm not even surprised that mainstream followers in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, who have been through this political circus time and time again, still believe in the circus. I am surprised that people in the alternative media are taking this seriously. But once he starts putting in Giuliani and Chris Christie and Newt Gingrich and all of these people into positions of power in the new White House, I guess the only good thing about this is, it's not a good thing ultimately, but the good thing is for people who are afraid of what Trump will do to transform the nation is that, well, no, the White House still doesn't really run things. There's still, the power is in the establishment structures, in the shadow government, in Wall Street, and the military-industrial complex, and the place where power really resides. So there will be a window dressing change, there will be some cosmetic changes. I don't think fundamentally anything is going to change. And think about this, only Nixon could go to China, only Trump can govern as a Democrat. I think people are going to be surprised the way that this administration turns out, and a lot of people have backed themselves into a corner where anything associated with him, Democrats will detest, hate, protest, be vociferously against, and a lot of people who supported him are going to continue to support him no matter what he does. It's going to be interesting from that perspective, and we'll still have to be here being the ones looking at this from the outside and just observing them as they are.
Well, and that's, I think, fortunately, doing this now for as long as we have. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, the proof is in the pudding. And I said, as this the date approached, that a lot of people were going to wake up sort of the next day with that walk of shame and have to go back to their regular lives as they realize nothing's really going to change. As you said, it is the window dressing. However, that can have a bit of a psychological effect and a good kind of effect. It is good news that I think for one of the first times in almost all of our lives, James, there won't be at least a Bush or a Clinton occupying major parts of the White House, at least, again, in name only. And it is this kind of massive repudiation, as they've said it right there. And I was looking through all kinds of different stuff today. I think it was Kurt Nimmo that said, you know, you didn't think it would be that easy to get rid of the neocons, did you? And I think I'm going to be talking to John Hankey soon. He's got a new documentary he just put out. I had no idea of the anthrax Mike Pence connections. This is something kind of brand new to me over the last few days. And as you mentioned, so we got Pence, we got 9/11 criminals like Giuliani that we were going to be coming to the White House, the opportunity they weren't going to really have before. So as we move on to our second big segment, as we are looking at nothing but the America's Next Top President on this episode 289 of New World Next Week, we want to take just a quick glance at some of the ballot measures that voters approved all around the states. And for the most part, in big wins, it was minimum wage rises. So that's more fiat currency for you. Gun restrictions, that would be less personal freedom, constitutional freedom. So we got that going. The death penalty seems like it kind of snuck back in about three states. And again, a lot of this is still just kind of pouring over me, as I've noted. You know, I've already put a couple of hours live on the air today, so there is still a lot to sort of sift through. So a lot of this episode will kind of file under developing, but of course everything we say will be down included in the show notes. No condoms in California porn and no Colorado care. James, they tried to vote in their own sort of single-payer system. And the big winner all around in a lot of ways is recreational marijuana, California, Massachusetts legalization. But the interesting thing is the growers don't like it because what is it doing? It's turning it into a massively taxed, government-involved operation. The good news in places here like Oregon, and I don't think it's going to be the same in California because their bill is not that good. The good news, again, of course, people will not be in jail for a plant. And that's one of the best actual parts about it. But in a lot of ways, again, it's going to come back to the corporations. They're going to be ready to sort of sell you their crappy, super taxed versions. Fortunately, though, again, in places like Oregon, you can still grow a lot. So I think in a lot of ways, free market's going to kind of go back to the black market. And San Francisco passed a soda tax, James, but compared to the marijuana tax, that will be just a blip. So what was catching you with some of the ballot measures here in the States?
I'm just interested in your perspective because you're in the thick of it. Were there any ballot initiatives in Oregon that you were voting on?
We had at least 7 of them. And the nice thing, we do early voting here in Oregon. So you get your ballots weeks in advance and they send out a pretty massive booklet and you're able to spend the time and go through and do the research and look at what the stuff is. You don't just show up in some booth and go, oh, God, I've never heard of any of this stuff. You can actually make informed decisions. And it felt really good, James, to basically vote no, 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 no to all of your, hey, do you want to throw a bunch of money that we don't have at this thing? Basically, it's a great chance to stop wild government boondoggles in a lot of ways. And for the most part, I think almost all of them were voted down, unfortunately, except for an additional 3% tax on marijuana here in Oregon. So again, it's just another note of support your local grower, James.
Indeed. Well, there you go. I mean, there's a lot of things, as you say, it's still coming in. We're still parsing through the information as we record this. So I'm sure there will be more spilling out on that that side of things. But I mean, it is interesting to see some of the things that you're talking about there, greater gun control and things like that being snuck in through the ballot initiative. I think it's interesting. I was listening to Tom Woods parsing this out with Michael Malice on his podcast today, and Michael Malice made the point that Trump might be the guy to come in and take the federal thumb off of the marijuana issue to take the feds out of the issue, which would be, I mean, that would be a brilliant political move, wouldn't it, for Trump and the Republicans to be the ones to mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, free and stop putting people in jail because of a plant. And interestingly, I mean, I wonder how the Dems would react to that anyway. It would be an interesting political move if he did go for that.
So, James, for our third and final story here, we move on to, I think, one of the, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it. Is it sort of the unsung hero, the dark underbelly of a lot of what we've seen? Because, again, this is a story that's only 4 or 5 days old. And it has the strange name of Pizzagate. And like a lot of things, you'll see something on a sidebar, you see some trending, you see some hashtags. Again, if you're doing the types of, you know, vociferous research and digging that we're doing, it may take a little bit before you finally go, oh, what's this about? Apparently, the Podesta emails have led to allegations of another disgusting child abuse ring. And we will include 3 pretty massive Reddit links. And again, James, this might be another place where I have to say, dude, I was completely wrong. And all of the emails and all the things spilling out from Assange and all of these leaks are the thing that has pretty much, you know, ripped all the clothes off of these emperors that we had maybe only just suspected. So the Podesta emails, I will have 3 links, James. And again, I haven't gone through all of this, but basically John Podesta, you know, the guy that came out and said, we're not going to say anything tonight. Go home. Which was a really bizarre kind of ending to the election coverage here in the States. But basically, it looks like he and his brother, Tony, and pizza places and Clinton donors, and this ties in with what people are calling spirit dining. So basically, a massive investigation into Clinton crime family connections and possible child abuse rings is basically happening as we speak online right now, and they are going at it massively. And I looked at it in a way, again, taking in all the stuff we're seeing. I watched a hilarious video a couple minutes ago of Milo last night running around backstage and discovering that at the coverage, all the people had gone home. No one was even there in the mainstream media. He was basically going through doors. Hey, CNN, are you here? No, you've all gone home. And he was raiding their food and eating it, literally eating their lunch. The alternative open source media has completely eaten the lunch of mainstream media. And that, to me, is another huge sign of what came out of this election. So, James, it's easy, I think, to get really emotional and freak out and say, satanic Illuminati pedophile exposed. Oh, my God. But I was emailing just a little bit before we started taping this with a well-respected friend who is looking into this more, and they will probably have research coming out very soon. But they had a good idea and actually pointed to a video of a guy named Thomas Sheridan, who sort of gave a good way of saying, don't feed into the emotional sort of magic of a lot of this and just look at it like a cold, almost X-Files-like scientist and say, this is a criminal ring operating and we will expose it. And I'm sure people are contacting the FBI and Scotland Yard and other similar situations. James Pizzagate.
Yeah, this is my mea culpa, because exactly as you say, I saw the spirit cooking thing trending on Twitter and I looked into that. And I mean, I've just become so cynical to all this. I mean, Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, the occult stuff that goes on is not particularly shocking to me at this point. So I looked at that, I saw it, I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I can't say I'm shocked at this. It's interesting to see the reactions that some obviously more mainstream people are having to this, who are saying, what is happening right now? I can't believe it. Oh my God, you know, Alex Jones was right and stuff like that. I was seeing all over Reddit and places like that where you wouldn't exactly expect that kind of rhetoric. So that was interesting to watch that. But then when the Pizzagate thing came up, I looked into it on Twitter a little bit, and all I saw was people saying, oh, it's this big code, and pizza equals child, and pepperoni equals boy, or whatever. And it looked like total nonsense to me. It looked like people were just making this up, because no one had a source for where all of this code was coming from. It wasn't really until you played the clip on Morning Marnarchy the other day, putting some of those pieces of that puzzle together and tying it into the Comet Pizza and all of that. And now that I've looked into the Madeleine McCann thing and the E-Fits with John and Tony Podesta, that is incredible. That is absolutely amazing. And the worst part of this is that a lot of the people who were so involved and interested in this during the selection cycle craziness will, now that their team won and their guy's in, a lot of this is going to go away. A lot of the energy is going to go out of this, and it will be up to, once again, to the alternative media to carry on this investigation. So we will be doing that, and we're going to need help of people out there, because I've been looking at these Reddit threads and things too, and some of these leads are really, really compelling. Some of them, I think, are red herrings, and it's going to take some real research to sort it out.
Man, I would probably give at least some leeway to maybe some of the overreactions, like you're saying, because maybe this is the new generation finding out about all this stuff. James, you and I are getting old. But this looks like Profumo affair, Jimmy Savile, Franklin scandal level situation that seems to be unfolding. And again, I think that will kind of come from the alternative media. Because again, I don't know now what the alternative media is, the mainstream media. It's all pretty much been shattered into 1,000 pieces. Fortunately, James, I think you and I both have a lot of good proof in our pudding. We might not be the best around, but hopefully each week and each episode, we're able to kind of put it down and hopefully show what's really going on, open source style.
Well, we're here, we're trying, we're piecing things together from the outside the best we can through an open source investigation. We need people's help out there to do that. That's why we need your commentary, your feedback, and your suggestions. Of course, you can use the New World Next Week hashtag. Of course, we both have contacts via our various websites, and that's how people can get involved in this conversation and start moving it forward. Hey, we're all moving towards the same goals. We all want the same things. We all care about our families and the world. We're trying to move there together, so let's do that in the most responsible and best way that we can, and not get caught up in the political nonsense and garbage and the divide and rule and all of that. Let's just work towards the things that we want to work towards and take it as it comes and shape the world the way we want. That's a heady message to leave things on, but I think we need a bit of that perspective when people get so caught up in this and they invest so much of their identities in this. Just maintain your perspective, because the world is continuing and we're going to be living in it. So let's make the best of it.
There you have it. A pretty special New World Next Week, episode 289 for November 10th, 2016. James, I really appreciate you, man. And I'm glad that we're able to do this week in, week out.
I enjoy the conversation. Let's do it again next week.
All right, man. Thanks.